Sensei. Welcome to the second episode of Home on the Res. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm McFable.
This episode is about community makeovers.
I love makeover shows.
I know, right? Me too. And for this episode, we talked to housing managers from two communities, one in Northern Quebec and one in BC, about the housing makeovers they did in their communities.
So where do we start?
Let's start in Nunavik, Arctic Quebec. It's so far north that there are no roads to the south. There aren't even roads between the 14 villages. The only way to get there is by plane.
In 2006, the Quebec Housing Bureau did a study, and it found that most of the homes were not in good shape, inside or out. They figured that the cost of renovations would be as high as $400 million.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot. So what did they do?
The Quebec government made a huge investment to restore and modernize the houses, but they still had problems of overcrowding and vandalism and people not maintaining their houses.
Wow, that's a tough situation. So what did they do to make over the homes in their villages?
I'll let Laura Lepuin explain. She manages a program called Pivalianik, which is an Inuktitut word for making a change for the better. Laura and her team at Pivalianik took a totally new approach to the housing problem in Nunavik.
Instead of being negative and tell the tenants, or give tenants consequences, it went the opposite. It was, no, we're going to help on a positive point to the tenants to get the support to maintain their house and their home. Pivalianik program is actually a part of three components. The first step to get in the program is to have the first visit, right? So the agent go and visit the tenant. The tenant receives a free cleaning products and see how he can, or she can support the tenant in the maintaining of its home. And then 3 months or 6 months later, there is a follow-up visit. So in this visit, they see if there was improvement or if there are still issues. And if it's in a really good condition, the tenant gets certified. So this is where the certified product comes in. So it started in 2012. We had the Kvartovik, which is a cultural cutting board made out of wood. After this, 2013, there was a Uluk. Uluk is the cultural knife from the Inuit. So we started with really cultural products that can be very useful. So these certification items are to keep motivated the tenants, but also to recognize their engagement, in their home maintenance. But besides this component, we have also two more social approach components. The other one is the Nanook workshop. It's an educational workshop that is given for students grade 4, 5, and 6 in every school of every village. And this workshop is oriented on an artistic activity, but also for children to understand their well-being and their well-being at school, at home. And, well, actually, at the end of this year, there's a big annual draw for the students. There are 8 students selected for a big cultural trip to Montreal, all-inclusive. And the Pivalianik program has a partnership with Air Inuit and the Montreal Canadian Children's Foundation. So with this opportunity, the 8 students that win the big trip have access to the foundation VIP box seats, and they have the opportunity to watch a live Canadian hockey game. So this trip is kind of the highlight of the Nanook workshop component of Pivalianik. The third component of the pedagogic program is the taking care of our community campaign. They work mostly with teenagers, no? So it's really a campaign to get the youth busy and to learn about new cultural artistic activities. There is also a work done on the question of bullying and anger management workshop. So this aims to reduce vandalism in the community, and it's another social approach we have here. No? At the end of the year, there is a big housing day organized by Pivalanik with the Housing Bureau. And this housing day, it's very to have the community get together and have a good moment, not together and fun activities. And in this housing day, all the certified families of the program get access to this annual draw, which there are big prizes such as furniture, cookware set, free rent, gift certificate at the local co-op. Well, it's very successful, actually, because, it's been already 7 years. It started in 2012. At first, it was new, right? It was very hard, but after, actually, the first 5 months, the first agent went from village to village, and actually, they certified for 90 families. And then the next year, 2013, there was families participating in the 13 villages. And in total, there was about 500 families who were participating. Until now, today, so we're at the seventh year. The team is actually 12 agents, and they are 1,300 participating families, of which 900 are certified. So it really, really started slowly, but now we're actually in the 14 villages. And we did a survey this January 2018, and the result of this survey was that 80% of the responders know about the program. 95% agree that the program contributes to beautify their community, which is very high, and 98% want the program to continue for the next few years. So I think, yes, I can say it's successful.
Wow, that really is a great makeover story.
I like that it takes a positive approach. I think that works much better than threatening or punishing people. And the three components of the program get people of all ages involved. What's next?
Our second makeover story happened on the Yale First Nation in BC, about an hour east of Vancouver, near Hope. They have a population of about 200, with 60 living on reserve.
The folks there took a different approach to their housing challenges when they decided to build passive houses.
And that's what Crystal Sador was looking for when she became the house manager for Yale First Nation in 2014.
I always joke around that the passive buildings are the very first houses that I've ever encountered that come with a user's manual. It's a large binder. It explains to our tenants what passive is, how to use the HRV system, that's the heat recovery ventilation system. Also, it explains the appliances, because we have highly efficient washer and dryer in the units. We have very specific light bulbs, and how to change the filters in the furnace. So there's a lot of sort of hands-on knowledge that our tenants need to know about, even operating the windows. The windows are triple glazed. They are argon gas filled windows that open two different ways. It's not complicated. There's just a lot involved in it being a passive building.
For Yale First Nation in particular, passive house for us was a real cost saver in the long term. We were spending upwards of $60,000 per house for renovations. It was a money drain for us, the maintenance. And then on top of that, then we had these high energy bills because we had houses that were not efficient. They weren't operating in a way that was financially sustainable. We had houses that were drafty. They had inefficient windows. They had inefficient heating. And it all just came down to money for us. So by building passive, we're building these highly functioning houses for our tenants that's not only saving us, the band, long-term on maintenance costs, but also saving our tenants money right directly out of their pocket for the cost of their utilities. Many of our people who live on reserve are receiving social assistance. And according to social assistance guidelines, they are given, I believe it's $75 a month for utilities. When you're in a six-bedroom or even a four-bedroom house that has a $300 to $400 hydro bill every winter, during the winter months, it's a huge burden. We decided to do modular for all of our construction because of the weather that we face in Hope, for one thing, because of the short construction windows that we have between rain and snow. We didn't want our stick-built houses to be framed in the fall and then sit out in the weather until we're able to finish them in the spring. We just wanted to have them done in a controlled atmosphere. And all of our research, all of our visits to the modular factories have proven to us that these buildings are built to meet or exceed the BC Building Code. In fact, everything we've built exceeds the BC Building Code. They're dry when they're delivered. There's no issues with possibility of moisture being in the frame. They are very fast when they're built in a factory and then shipped to site. All we need to do is just make sure that our sites are prepared. So it was very important for us to make sure that we're delivering quality homes that aren't going to be costing us money in the future for maintenance. They're beautiful. They're very contemporary looking. And our tenants are all very pleased with the finished results.
Wow, two for two. Those are great makeover stories.
And both Crystal Sidora at Yale First Nation and Laura Lapointe at Nunavik were so happy that we asked them to share about their housing makeover projects.
That's our First Nations way.
And that's our show for today. Tune in to Indigenous radio stations across Canada to hear our next show.
If you missed any of our podcasts, you can find them at www.fnnboa.ca. Look for the Radio Finboa link.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can leave a voice message at 613-236-2040, or you can email info@fnnboa.ca.
Thanks to our Chase producer, Annette Ermine, producer, writer, and editor, Shannon Avison, and executive producer, John Kudrowski.
Special thanks to Finboa for giving us the opportunity to learn about housing on First Nations. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm McFable. Thanks for listening to Home on the Rise.